Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
News broke this morning that Norman Hunter has passed away as a result of complications from contracting COVID-19. He was 76. He put together a brilliant career as a legendary figure on Leeds' best ever team. He was part of England's World Cup squad in 1966, and he was the Players' Player of the Year in 1974. And I'm joined now by John Giles to talk about Norman Hunter. John, first off, condolences, because I know that he wasn't just a teammate of yours. He was a proper friend of yours too.
I was very, very friendly, Chair, yeah. I saw him recently where we had the Leeds United centenary year, and the group of players from a certain period got the freedom of the city. So that's the last time I saw Norman, which was in December, and he was in good form as usual. Jared, now he was one of my, I regard him as a very, very good friend, a great colleague with Leeds United. I was there, we were 12 years together, and a first-class person.
You weren't just colleagues as players. You ended up working together at West Brom as well. You took him as your assistant.
Yeah, he came. He came there. He went into management himself for a while. He was at a few of the Yorkshire clubs, and then he was at Bradford. His last club was at Bradford, and when I came back to West Brom, then I invited him down, and he came for a year. He was a good lad, great player. Very, very modest lad, but a good, very, very lovely individual person.
Well, let's talk about him as a man, will you? Because I think, like, with a lot of sports people, we only really end up knowing them as kind of cartoonish figures. They're the lads who are on the field of play. But what was he actually like as a man?
He was very genuine lad, very, very modest. Never talked about himself. He felt that he was very privileged to be playing football at the level that he played at, because funny enough, when he was at Leeds as a young lad, there was a manager called Jack Taylor, and I think when he got to his 17th birthday, he didn't sign him, so he went home. And luckily enough, Don Revie was a player at Leeds that time and took over from Jack Taylor and brought him back. So I don't think he ever forgot that. That's how near he was to not making it at all. Yeah, and he worked. I mean, Norman, in the time I was at Leeds, probably worked harder than anybody else on his game and felt privileged to be playing, and never, ever took it for granted.
It's funny how those setbacks can make people really great professionals, because they apply themselves in a way that lads who just have talent, who coast into the first team very early on, sometimes don't have that combination.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with him. But he never lost it, Jer. You know, even when he became established and played for England, he could play 28 times for England. And that was the time when Bobby Moore was playing, the great Bobby Moore. And so that he would have got a lot more caps with him. But I don't think he ever lost the thoughts of being discarded when he was 17. And as you say, I've come across young lads who are very, very gifted, signed pro at 17, make a couple of appearances, and it's gone to their head, and they forget how lucky they are to be playing at the level that they were. Norman never forgot that. You know, he never forgot it, because he was sent home, and in those days, if you were sent home at 17, you were out of it totally, Jerry, you know. So I think you're absolutely right. He never forgot that particular situation that he was in.
It strikes me as well, from listening to you talking about that Leeds team, that there was a shared characteristic of a lot of the team, where you were men very early on in your lives, that you all had overcome something. In your case, you had to travel. It was the situation at Manchester United when you got to Leeds, that you all had decided that this was going to be something, that you were going to have an unbreakable team as individuals, yeah, and as a team spirit as well. And he seemed like a very important central part to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Norman was a great player. He was the best defender I ever played with, Jer. But you're absolutely right again. I think, when I left Manchester United, I was only 22. But I had something to prove. We were in the second division. And the likes of Norman Hunter, Paul Madeley, Paul Reaney, Terry Cooper, and a few more. Like, when I went to Manchester United when I was 15, they had the pick of England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And the particular players that I mentioned that were at Leeds wouldn't have got inside the door at Old Trafford when I went there. So these were lads that had to be coached, had to work hard, had to have the ambition to do it, and the hunger, which they did. Well, what was good about them, when they did make it, they never lost that hunger, Ger. And that's what created the team and the team spirit. And these lads like Paul Madeley, Paul Reaney, Terry Cooper, all became international players along with Norman at that particular time. So they never lost the hunger. They never got ahead of themselves, you know.
As a player, I presume, he would have been Jack Charlton's partner at the centre of the Leeds defence for a long period of time. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Jack finished... they would have played together for at least 10 years.
Right.
And Jack was obviously in the England team before. He was a lot older. Jack was older than all of us. And it was a terrific partnership, you know. Jack was the top centre-half, as we know. But Norman came into the team. When I went there, I was 22. I was 3 years older. He was only 19, Norman. But the amazing thing about him, he never lost the hunger. And what happened, he really appreciated being a professional footballer, Ger. He never lost that. You know, he knew he was gifted to play football, and he really had to work hard to get where he was at. But he always enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah.
And even in training, said there's some days you go into training, like all of us, you're feeling a bit down, you're not feeling great. I never saw him like that. He pushed himself all the time.
You said he's the best defender you ever played with. What was his game like? What kind of a footballer was he?
Well, he played off Jack. Like, he was in those days, he had two centre halves, and Jack was the main man who'd go for the headers, and he'd clean up, as they say. But he was a great had a great knowledge of where to be as a defender, Ger. And he was a great tackler. Like, he had this ability that I hadn't seen with other people. Normally, like, if you get a defender and you come up to him, when you want to go past him, you knock at a certain distance. With Norman, I found it with Norman, you'd knock at that distance, but he had this gift, especially on his left side, to get an extra stretch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Players thought they were past him, and he got this extra stretch and come away with the ball. But he read the game. You know, they talk about reading the game. He read it well. He'd see the danger straight away, you know, before it ever came near him, he'd see the danger and pick it up and clear it, and could tackle. He could tackle as well. Get stuck in.
Talk to us about that, will you? Because the Norman Hunter bites your legs is it's obviously famous. Where did it come from? How did it happen? And how did he take that?
Well, apparently it was an affectionate thing from the Leeds supporters themselves. It didn't come from outside. It was an affectionate thing. Norman bite your legs. It didn't bother him, Jared, to be quite honest. He had a laugh about it. But that was the big... I think it was the cup final. Somebody told me it was in the cup final in 72 that they rolled out the banner, the Leeds supporters, because he was a hero with the Leeds crowd, yeah. You know, they loved him because anybody... Well, we all loved him because everything he gave for the team. Week in, week out, training, everything, enthusiastic, do the job. Never got carried away with himself. So the supporters loved him. And that's why they gave it. That was an affectionate thing.
Yeah, and obviously there was some truth to it as well. That, like, when you take, he could tackle. He was a hard tackler, a tough tackler.
Yeah, well, tough. Like, we're talking about a time, Jared, where in the game as it was played by all the teams, Leeds had a bad reputation. But all the teams in those days, you had to commit grievous bodily harm to get a yellow card. And Norman could tackle with the best of them and get stuck in with the best of them. You had to in those days. You know, he was a defender, and he was obviously facing the ball. But he wasn't stupid and giving stupid tackles away or anything. Sure. It was just that at those days you were allowed to tackle in a certain way that you can't tackle today.
Yeah.
You know, he'd got loads of yellow cards today, but so would Tommy Smith and Chopper Harris and these guys that play that. I mean, they were all the big names that got stuck in. But I think Norman was the best of those three by a long distance.
Because he could actually play ball as well. That was the other thing.
Definitely, yeah. I played with Norman. I was 40 yards away from Norman, and Norman had the ball in his left foot. You'd get it straight to your feet. He could really play. He could go on the overlap at the right time and get a cross in. He was a good distributor of the ball. So the Norman bite your legs thing was an affectionate thing, but taken up in the wrong way by a lot of people. He did get stuck in, don't get me wrong. but you had to get stuck in that position, especially in those days.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like he's the type of player who would definitely have made it in the game today, that as a distributor, as somebody who could tackle, as somebody who could read the game.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you could imagine him in the... You see, don't we get, you've got to take into the conditions in those days, not just for Norman, for everybody, but for, like, now you can play out from the back easily, Jerry. You know, the pitches are good. In those days, you go to Derby on a rainy day. You couldn't do things like that. So it would be much, much easier for Norman actually to play in a certain way today than it was at that particular time. But then you'd have to adapt to the conditions today. But it'd be much easier to do it for the players of my time to adapt today rather than the players of today to go back to Norman's time, playing out from the back.
Yeah, of course. I read that he had ended up being caretaker at Leeds for a couple of games before Harold Wilkinson took over. So the club obviously retained this lifelong affection for him. And I think there's an area in a stand named after him. And he was there as recently as a month and a half ago.
Yeah, he was still working at the on the. He had a big Norman Hunter lounge at the ground where he used to do hospitality work for the home matches. Yeah, up to now, and there was a big lounge, and he'd do a pre-match talk, and then he'd give a talk at halftime and a talk after the match. Up to now, of course, the matches haven't been played for a while, so he still had a connection with the club, you know, quite rightly too. But he was loved by the supporters, still is loved by the supporters. He's just one of those lads that played, and people could watch him play and say, this guy really means it. And he means it for the club, you know, which he did.
I think stuff like this really, not that we need to be reminded, because so many people across England in particular, and in Ireland, there's hundreds of people who've died and hundreds of families and hundreds of children and grandkids of the people who are dying. But I think when something like this happens, it reminds us all of just how serious this whole thing has become.
Oh, it's dreadful, Jared. I got worried, really worried for him last week, because I knew he was taken into hospital and he had underlying situations, Jared. He had the, you know, he had leukemia. He was taking some medicine for leukemia and one or two other things. So I was very, very worried for him when he went in last week. As you say, across the whole world, Jerry, you know, you get Norman Hunter, who was, you know, getting about, doing his work, doing everything, and you get this virus, and that's it. And I'm in a worried state myself. I'm 3 years older than Norman, so I've got to keep my head down, Jerry, and keep out of the way as much as anybody, more so than most people. So it's a dreadful situation, and it's very, very sad for Norman and the family.
Yeah, totally. And look, you're doing exactly the right thing in cocooning. It's exactly what my parents are doing and what loads of people's parents are doing at the moment. And I know it's really hard, but like, I just, when you think about the fact, the thing that you mentioned there, that he was going about his work just a month ago. So when people talk about underlying conditions and it's reported on, it's another number of people who have died and a certain percentage of them had underlying conditions, it's almost like it's, oh, well, that's only to be expected. But like an underlying condition, he was still the husband and the father of that family, and he was still your friend, and he was still able to go about his work. I think we kind of need to stop talking about the underlying conditions and just remember that these are people, they're flesh and blood, who were totally fine a month and a half ago.
Oh yeah, well, it's across the board, Jerry. You know, we've got to be, as you say, we've got to be very careful what we're doing. You take nothing for granted and obey all the rules. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that we'll come out of it okay, and our relatives and friends, and unfortunately, Norman, that hasn't happened. And, you know, for his wife and his children, it's a very, very sad day.
Yeah, no, it is, and we obviously send them all our condolences, and you as well. John, let's talk a little bit about him as a man again, and maybe remember some stories about him before we wrap this up, to finish on a nice note. Your team reached unbelievable heights. There was some sensational seasons where there were doubles on the line, where there was European Cup finals, where, you know, you end up getting robbed by one of the greatest Bayern Munich teams of all time. And, you know, there must be some of those that are the things that, when you think about Norman Hunter, they're the things that you remember.
Of course, I think when you're in the situation that Leeds were in, we were together for 12 years. I played with Noam for 12 years. And it's like being in the army together, yeah. Because when you go across, and especially in those days, you go behind the iron curtain to play. The matches weren't televised and that. And referees didn't do you any favours and teams are getting stuck into you. You had to stick together. And there's a bond from that never dies, Ger. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could see Norman, I wouldn't see him maybe for a year. I'd see him and we'd pick up straight away. But he was an exceptional character like that. You could depend on him with your life in any matches you play and off the field as well. He was just a really, really good character who appreciated everything he had playing football. He loved it. And he was a terrific player. You know, we had laughs about the old days. I remember, like, when we played together, there was Billy Bremner and myself who were the midfield players, and no one used to complain about it because we get the ball, and he said, he used to call me Johnny, of course. He said, if I gave it to Johnny, Billy would be on to me. If I gave it to Billy, Johnny would be on to me. And I used to say, Norman, isn't it good to have that option? There's a lot of defenders to be playing and they've nobody to give it to. But he used to laugh at that, you know, because there were some matches. I remember playing in one match where we were winning 3-0, 4-0, one of the European Cup matches. And he got the ball and I was near to him. He didn't give it to me. Knocked it out to Paul Reaney. And I said, Norman, what are you doing? And we had a little bit of a round afterwards. He came over and he says, what were you? And he said, it was a good ball to Paul Reaney. I said, Norman, I know it was. I said, but what about on the day and we're playing at Derby and the pitch is muddy and bumpy and you're not playing very well. I said, and I'm 4, 5 or 6 yards away from me. Are you pleased to see me? Bloody sure I am. I said, well, then, why are you giving it to Paul Reaney? That's the point I'm making. But we had a little bit of a row about that. We came over to me in the dressing room. We'd be pals after that. It was. You do that on the pitch, Jay. You can get on, you know, you can have a bit of a row. But we were together for 12 years and no problem. Norman was a model of a player. He had a great enthusiasm for it. He had a great enthusiasm for training. I think he never, as we said early on, I don't think he ever forgot that he nearly didn't get there at all. Mm. You know, but he appreciated it, you know. Because I spoke to him around the Christmas time, at Leeds at Dew. And he said, do you miss it? And I said, no, not really, Norman. He said, I really miss it.
That's class, though, as well. Like, he obviously loved it so much that it was...
He loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it, and he appreciated it, and he knew he was gifted for it. Yeah, he never, ever lost that. He loved it and gave everything to the team. He was never bothered about it. Actually, he had a great rapport with the crowd. Because obviously when he was winning in and winning the tackles and that, they loved him. And he responded to the crowd, you know.
Yeah.
The crowd loved him. And he was a real hero. But the players loved him as well. I mean, you get some lads playing today, the crowd would love him because they played to the crowd, yeah. On my time, any player played to the crowd. But sometimes their teammates would hate them, you know. But Norman was loved by the crowd and he was loved by his teammates.
You were telling Nathan last night before the news came through that you were golfing buddies, but you were golfing buddies with the boss, which I was very surprised to hear that you were all going out playing golf with the boss.
Well, he used to do that. That was on. It wasn't very often because we weren't allowed to play golf 3 days before a game, Ger. So we were playing most of the time. But when we had a week off, Tuesday was a day off, and it was a day off to play golf, right? So Don loved Norman, right? And we used to kid Norman, oh, your dad, here's your dad. And on the Monday, you see, he'd come into the dressing room and he'd say, no, Norm, son, don't forget tomorrow, 9 o'clock at the golf course, we'll take the, that was Peter Lorre and myself, we'll take them on, right? And of course, when he went out of the dressing room, he'd say, oh, Norman, there's your dad and that. And he hated it. You know, he said, I wish he wouldn't do that. And he said, we'd say, you're a pet. You're the pet, Norman. I don't want to be the effing pet, you know. But that's the way he was. Revy loved him. As you would expect him. I was a man of his own. You'd love him as well for what he did. But that's the way he used to get onto him.
We'll call you back in 2 seconds there, John. She's having a few problems with that line, so we'll kill that line for a minute here and we'll ring John Giles straight back on it. Just a reminder, if you're tuning in, news obviously broke this morning that Norman Hunter has passed away as a result of complications from contracting COVID-19 at the age of 76. An astonishing career, really, when you think about it. Legendary figure at centre-back on Leeds' best-ever team, as we just heard there from John. Centre-back partnership with Jack Charlton. Part of England's World Cup squad in 1966, although famously couldn't get in to the team ahead of Bobby Moore, who was, of course, the captain, who was always going to be picked. And John was talking about Bobby last night and how he always rose to the big occasions. He was also, in the end, towards the tail end of his career, the Players' Player of the Year in 1974. And we're rejoined by John Giles there. John, you were saying that he didn't want to be Don Revie's pet. I'm sure it wasn't a bad situation to be in, though, if there was ever any doubt about him being picked or if he made a mistake, that he knew that Don would actually at least have his best interest at heart.
Oh, he would, yeah. But Don was the type of player who made a mistake. He'd hold his hands up and say, well, sorry about that, lads. And that was the end of it, which that was the group that we had, because everybody makes mistakes from time to time. He didn't make many, very, very many mistakes. But it was just a bit of a laugh with the lads, to be honest. You know, oh, here's your dad coming along. And he said, I wish he wouldn't do it. He hated Don doing that, you know. But especially for the golf on the Monday, he'd be coming in to check in. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, son, 10 o'clock, we'll take these two on. And then I'd address him, and then we'd start on him then, you know.
You all obviously had a very close relationship with Don, so you could actually go and play golf with him.
Yeah, but he was always the boss, Chair, you know. Like, he might play golf, or if you were doing anything wrong, he'd soon let you know. But the golf day was just different. That was Peter Lorimer himself used to take them on. And it was a golf day because Tuesday was a day off, but you weren't allowed to play 3 days before the game anyway. And sometimes we were playing a lot of games that we didn't play for, you know, a couple of months or so. But that's the way it was. But he was like that with Norm, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just that we, like, football dressing rooms, you go into dressing rooms when you're 15, and you come out when you're 35, and you're still only 15.
Yeah.
It's just fun. You know, a lot of things happening in the world around you. They wouldn't be touching you. You know, it was just football. You're like a gang of kids, really.
And what a time you had.
Great time. Great time. I was there for 12 years. Well, I had a year with Don finished in 74, which was, then we had the club situation and then Jimmy Anfield. And it just wasn't the same, Ger.
You know, sometimes you kind of have to lose something to appreciate exactly what you had and what that magic and that bond you guys had as players. And
yeah, funnily enough, I think we all appreciated when we had it, yeah, to be honest. We did. We were together for a long time. I think we knew we were gifted people in that the team we had, the success we had. We lost some, we won some, we lost some. When we lost, we came back after, you know, with a vengeance. And I think we knew what we had, and I don't think we took it for granted. Don wouldn't let you take anything for granted. You know, he'd be saying, "Look, there's a lot of people out there not gifted as you, lads. You got to make the most of it and enjoy it while you're doing it." And that was the case.
Yeah, there was one last thing I wanted to ask you about, and that was so obviously he was in a battle for a place in the England team against Bobby Moore, and you know, Bobby was famously, you know, the captain of the team and beloved of the sports writers at the time, and obviously was a sensational big game player. Did that mean that Norman ended up being a little bit underappreciated because he wasn't in the team at the time?
I think he was always appreciated, but Norman would be the first to tell you, if he was picking the team, he'd pick Bobby Moore. He would say that. He'd say that Bobby Moore is different class to me. Now, Bobby Moore, in my opinion, I'll give you my take on it, Jared. What, the bigger the matches, the better the Bobby Moore played. Right? So if I was picking a big match at Wembley, I'd pick Bobby Moore. Week in and week out, I'd pick Norman Hunter, without question. See, Bobby Moore played for West Ham. West Ham were never going to win the league. And even when he played at Leeds, Bobby Moore would play well, but there was no drive and ambition and will to win that Norman had. So the bigger the occasion, Bobby Moore could rise to the occasion, and he was brilliant. As you know, he won the World Cup in 1966. But week in and week out, Norman for me.
at the end of his career, he ends up winning the Players Player of the Year. And I was reading this, apparently there's a mistake in a game against Poland where he's playing for England. The Poles score, it's a 1-1 draw, and as a result England don't qualify for the tournament. The tabloids get after him apparently, and his response is to put in the best year of his career to become the Players Player of the Year, which kind of goes to show the character of the man as well.
Yeah, he was a bit unlucky on that as well, Ger. I remember it well. Ramsey left Bobby Moore out of the team. And Bobby Moore was loved by the supporters, and he did make a mistake on the halfway line, and Shilton was in goal. Shilton actually should have saved the shot, but he didn't say anything, and I think that the press were annoyed that Bobby Moore was left out for Norman Hunter, and I think the criticism he got was far too much. He hadn't played; they didn't qualify for the World Cup that year, but he only played in that match. Do you know what I mean, Jared? Like, they lost other matches. It wasn't just beaten. If they won that night, they qualified. But only because they were in a position that they'd lost matches before that, when Bobby Moore did play. You know, I think he was unlucky, and he wouldn't have been the journalist's favourite. So it was a bad defeat for them. I think it was a draw. But anyway, they didn't qualify. But he made a mistake at the halfway line. There was a lot more happening. And I think Peter Shilton should have saved the shot. But Norman, the press, I think, were onto Ramsey because he left Bobby Moore out, and I think they were taking it out more on Norman for that particular match. I think it was very unfair on him for one mistake in one match to doubt him and all the things that he did before. But that would be exactly what Norman would do. I'll show them. And I think Leeds went on to win the league the next year, and he was the Players' Player of the Year. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a suitable note for us to finish this. The one last thing, obviously, is, you know, we all find great comfort in funerals and telling stories and getting together as a community around that. And again, unfortunately, for your group of players, for your teammates, for his colleagues, for his family, that's not going to be an option now.
No, I think we will have something, Ger, when this thing goes away. I think the Leeds lads will get together with the Norman's family at some stage. I mean, no doubt about that. We won't let it go.
Yeah. Well, John, stay well. Keep cocooning. And we're enjoying your weekly chats here with us, where you're picking your greatest teams of all time. A lot of debate, as you might expect, around some of it. But it's been brilliant. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Ger.
Stay well.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.